You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine, joined again today by Joe Goodberry, the godfather, as some call him, of Bengals NFL Draft Twitter. We're brought to you today.
Who called him that?
I've seen it.
Some.
Oh, all right.
It's out there. We're brought to you today by Blue Nile this Mother's Day. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, May 8th in the near future. For those of you that don't know, give mom something special she'll treasure forever with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And our listeners will get $50 off $500 purchases using promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here at Locked On Bengals, your team every day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube. So be sure to hit that subscribe button, that follow button, so we're delivered to your eyes and ears first thing every day. And with that out of the way, Joe, you have put together a 7-round mock draft for the people. And as we've done the last couple of days, we're going to start with you walking through the process you went through to put this together.
Yeah, so it's a little bit lengthy to get there, but I'll try and make it quick. Obviously, we put a board out there. If you follow Jake Lisco and I on Twitter, you've seen it. You should check it out. Go through all the tabs and look at everything and ask questions, because we're free to talk about it and explain and improve our process. But the point is there that we have number grades, and we've got scores, and we've got production and athletic measurements and athleticism measurements, PFF grades, a whole bunch of stuff to look through. And then I have historical trends for the Bengals at all those positions, going back to the early 2000s. Then I've got even more data going back to about 2011 to 2021. And recently, if you heard Marvin Lewis on the podcast with the Athletic Football Show, he talked about how Duke Tobin took a more hands-on approach or more of a control after 2011. So it's interesting that we've got data going from that spot, I think. Anyways, point is, I've got the average player they draft at each position, especially the ones of need. I wanted to make sure we had that there. And then the thresholds. So if they've drafted 25 wide receivers and 22 of them have been over 190 pounds, and really the other three guys are two, and then you got John Ross, two are seventh rounders, and then you got John Ross, who's 188. He's really right there. You can give him a pass. You got a 92% threshold, and that means typically – they want to draft a bigger guy than that. That's why when some of these guys come up, you say, yeah, he might be a little bit smaller than they like to take before day three. So I've got all that information. I've got all that data. And then I used fanspeak.com, which is a mock draft simulator. I wanted to be able to know I can actually get these guys in a simulated scenario. So I had a list of guys that passed the filters and passed the thresholds and seemed like a Bengals pick based on our data at each round. Jake, I think you did a similar thing. Mine had a few different players than yours, but I thought yours was pretty good as well. And I had ideas for where I wanted to target and fill out the draft to get a very Bengals-like draft, guys that surpass the thresholds and the averages. So I knew I wanted to have an extra fourth or fifth round pick. So I go to fanspeak.com. I picked Arif Hasan from the Athletics consensus draft board, which takes over 60 draft boards and ranks them, and you spit out, you know, all the numbers, you know what the consensus is. And I picked for the opposing CPU teams to have random boards so that it mixed it up just a little bit. And from there I started off, and I think I got exactly what I think is going to happen and what I think is most likely and what the Bengals probably hope is going to happen. Pick number one, and I went with Florida corner Kyer Elam.
Look at you. You just spoiled it. I was going to be Roger Goodell, and you just spoiled it, Joe. And you even stumbled. You were like right there on the edge, and you're like, and I went with tip, tip, tip. And then you just dove right in. Kyer Elam. All right. So why did you land on Kyer Elam with the 31st overall pick? And first, and because this part I think is going to be a bit quicker, how happy would you be if they landed Kyer Elam on Thursday night?
I'd be pretty happy. I think before I said I'd give that probably a B, you know, and depending on how this draft went, because it actually Booth went to the Bills. Kyler Gordon went to the Chiefs right before the Bengals. And it was really Kyer Elam or you're waiting the round two. And so at that point, you probably elevate it to, I really like this prospect, to you got the best player that was available at that position, hands down. And you really, you know, you got a gift there that he's still available. So you could probably even elevate that pick to a B plus, A minus type of thing. But why he fits, right? So the average corner they draft is about 5'11 and a half. Okay. Most 88% are 5'11 or taller. And when you look at what they value, typically they want productive guys that are decent athletes. The speed doesn't matter as much. They first round guys, they will take the fast guys, but they've also taken Darqueze Dennard and Drake Kirkpatrick, guys that run 4.5s. That's why I kept Kyler Gordon on there, because I think size wise, Kyler Gordon fits it perfectly. And I think on tape, he reminds me of Leon Hall. I've said that before. But Kyra Elam, in terms of agility drills and things like that, he nails the average draft pick that they spend. 10 out of 17 is what I meant to say for speed. 10 out of 17 corners ran slower than a 4.5 for the Bengals. So don't take them off the board completely if they are a little bit slower. But in the first round, I think they do want that speed. Elam with a 4.39 at the combine. He comes away with an 86th percentile RAS relative athletic score. The average for the Bengals is a 72 percentile, and his production is really, really high, which is something the Bengals always haven't had a chance to do. They typically get guys that are 60s in that range. Drake Kirkpatrick, Darqueze Dennard. When you look at William Jackson, he's a 36th percentile production, which means he probably didn't have the Pro Bowl potential, which is why we probably saw him have really good years, really bad years, because that's how those guys tend to fall out. Kyra Elam's got Pro Bowl, if not even a little bit more potential.
When you picked Kyra Elam at 31, and then you're talking about Pro Bowl potential based on his productivity profile, to be clear. But when you picked Kyra Elam at 31, who else tempted you? Who else was there that you were considering?
Actually, Logan Hall was gone already, because I would have considered him. I would consider Travis Jones as well. None of the big guys fell, like George Karlaftis or Tyler Linderbaum. They were gone already. It really was an easy pick. It would have been Travis Jones being the number two guy, but it was a pretty big gap there. Not that I don't like Jones. I would definitely consider him, because I think the fall off there, a defensive tackle, happens pretty quickly. And I think we see that in my next two picks.
And follow-up question.
Would you have taken Logan Hall?
No, I'm not over Elam. I wouldn't have. I'd have Elam higher. I do like Logan Hall, though.
Will the Bengals draft Tyler Linderbaum if he's available to them?
Over an Elam? That's a tough question. Like, I think they probably would over, like, an Andrew Booth. Maybe that's me hoping that happens. I think that's much tighter gap there, because Elam's a pretty safe prospect for all things other than his last year grading with PFF, you know, and that does have some future, you know, indication of how he may play, but his previous 2 years were really good with them. So that's a wash, or let's just see how it goes. I don't know. I think they could go Elam over Linderbaum.
They could. I think
If they went Booth over Linderbaum, oh.
I think they could do that too.
I do too.
That'd be bad.
I hate it, Jake and Joe.
It would be if they're comfortable with his medicals, if they have data that we're not privy to on his athleticism, and those are big ifs. He has a more checkered injury history than I was aware of. But, Joe, you've made some moves in this draft, and we have a lot more picks to talk about. And we just spent, our entire first segment on Kyra Elam, appropriately so. We had to set up the process. We had to spend some extra time on the first round pick. But a lot more picks to talk about, and we'll continue talking through Joe Goodberry's mock draft coming up next.
At BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices that you're not going to find at a traditional jeweler, because BlueNile.com gives you and specializes in everyday fine jewelry. So whether you're looking for something for your wife, something for Mother's Day, and this Mother's Day, you can give mom something she's going to treasure forever. Maybe it's a bracelet. Maybe it's earrings. Maybe it's that necklace that you've been wanting to get her. Well, you're going to find something that she's going to love at BlueNile.com. So don't delay. Check them out right now, BlueNile.com, and give mom something she's going to love with fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. And right now, our Locked On Bengals listeners, in honor of Mother's Day and Draft Week, are going to get $50 off their orders of $500 or more with promo code Locked On. That's all you got to do. Go to BlueNile.com, promo code Locked On. Boom. You're going to give mom the best Mother's Day present ever. So again, go there right now. BlueNile.com, promo code locked on. Every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in a discreet package that's not going to give away what's inside. Shop stress-free today. BlueNile.com, promo code locked on.
A lot more mock draft here to go through, Joe Goodberry, and we've got to move. You said you wanted an extra fifth round pick. What better way to get an extra fifth round pick? Well, take us through the process.
Yeah, so a lot of the guys that I would have liked in that second round spot, mainly wanting to address defensive tackle, would have been open to a tight end. Dulcich and McBride were gone. Travis Jones was gone. I would have considered Perrion Winfrey and maybe DeMarvin Leal. But in this scenario, I was offered a fifth rounder, which I wanted to get an extra either fourth or fifth, depending on how far to move back. It was the Giants moving up for a quarterback. I think it was Sam Howell. So I moved back four spots, picked up an extra fifth. And with that pick in the third round now, so no second round pick where the Bengals have been home runner strikeout, you know, over their history. Moving into the third round here, I'm getting Josh Pascal, the defensive end lineman from Kentucky. So we got some local fans that'll probably be happy with that. And why I picked him is because two things. I think the Bengals could take advantage of a very, very strong defensive end class where they're going to probably be slapped in the face with guys that are at the top of their board in rounds two, three, and four, maybe even later. But Pascal also doubles as a guy that will kick inside and will rush from inside and be very, very dangerous there. So he's the guy that's going to kick in, and maybe it's, you know, him and BJ Hill, maybe it's him and Sam Hubbard and like a NASCAR package where you got four ends out there with Joseph Asai and Trey Hendrickson being the edge guys. I think that makes a lot of sense in terms of where I wanted to make sure he passed the averages and the thresholds. They typically draft a defensive end that's 6'4", 266 with 33-inch arms. He's just under 6'3", 268 with just under 33-inch arms. Average is 4.77 for the 40. He ran a 4.77. Now, he did not do his agility drills because I think he would have looked like a defensive tackle in those. The Bengals typically don't care about agility too much for their ends. They like the power, straightforward type rushers, the Carl Lawson types, the Sam Hubbard types, even the Marcus Hunts, James' favorite player, and Will Clark's. Those guys were of the same ilk, and I think they would, you know, go with that. Maybe the most athletic guys they have now are obviously a Trey Hendrickson and a Joseph Osai. I think Pascal fits in what they used to have and would be a good rotation with those guys at the end also. Other than that, though, he's also nails almost what they normally draft for production. He's in the 68th percentile. Normally they draft in the 63rd percentile for average. He looks like a very, very good starter to a very good rotational depth piece, and I think he would play a lot as a rookie.
I just want to throw out that
don't you put that evil on me with the Marcus Hunt comment. That nonsense. A quick 5-second story. Marcus Hunt, one time I asked Marcus Hunt after he had become a bust, hey man, can I get you for a few minutes? This dude blew me off in the Bengals locker room. I'm never going to forgive him for that. Marcus Hunt.
Sam Hubbard had a 97th percentile three cone, by the way. People love to forget that Sam Hubbard tested like a bendy freak.
Just no speed.
He did not run a 40 at all.
Right.
So do you think so you don't think the Bengals care that he skipped his agility testing?
I think he would probably go a little bit higher if he tested like a bendy, you know, one of those guys, but he's not. So I don't think when a guy isn't and he wins a certain way, I don't think teams care.
Anybody else tempt you in the second round, third round?
No, it would have been Leal and, you know, guys like Perrion Winfrey, but I kind of, when I traded back only four spots, I had a target of taking Pascal there and he was still there. So I kind of lucked out. If fallback would have been a Winfrey.
Yeah. Pascal. I think a lot of our listeners are going to like that pick. And now they've addressed corner and the defensive line, maybe not the guy that they, you know, most were hoping for, but still you get one of them. So what do you have with your second now third round pick since you didn't have a second rounder because you traded down?
So we've gone defense, right? We've gone corner and defensive end. Guy will kick inside as well. And I'm going
go receiver,
defense.
Joe.
I can't for you. I know you want that. Going defense again. And we're taking safety Nick Cross, one of the youngest players in this draft, especially at safety.
Got me crossed right now.
The thing with the Bengals at safety is probably their most or strongest profile in terms of production. They love the productive safeties. Like, they do not draft a non-productive safety at all. 89th percentile for average of safeties drafted since 2011. Excludes guys like Robert Sands, George Iloka, Sean Williams, obviously Jesse Bates, Brandon Wilson. And there was a couple other guys that I'm forgetting that were depth guys. Point being is they were all like 80. Clayton Fedgelum won. I think he was the lowest at 81st percentile for production. They want
the grounder too.
I know, right? Like they value guys that are getting mixed into the plays. Cross though tested like a really, really athletic dude at 4.33 40. I mean, that's not something they normally can find. It's not something you normally find anyways. So the upside there as a 21-year-old that has the athleticism tested in the 90, almost 99th percentile for RAS. I mean, we're talking about high upside there. I thought he was okay on tape. Like there's guys, like if you want to ask about Cooks from Cincinnati, probably better on tape. I had this question exactly today about the two of them. I just think they're two different kind of guys, where one's got more upside and is much younger and obviously tested, makes him a much cleaner and stronger prospect. Cross also and for production is in the 86th percentile.
It turns out Duke Tobin has a bit of a track record for drafting on the younger end of things too. I don't know if you guys saw that earlier this week. There was one of those, you know, X, Y axis kind of grids, and Duke Tobin, not extremely, extremely young, but one of the younger drafters in terms of the age he targets in the draft. I think the average player the Bengals draft is just over 22 years old.
Yeah. It wasn't like the Browns that were at like 20 years old.
Yeah.
So when I asked him if age mattered and he said, no, it doesn't matter. They're just not going to draft any 40-year-olds. He wasn't being genuine. Damn it, Duke. He got me like three times last week. Obviously, I didn't believe him for those that can't see my face on YouTube. But yeah, he got me a few times.
Same thing on that chart, though. They were above average for age or in terms of youth and athleticism. So they will take young athletes. Yeah. So all else fails, take the most athletic, youngest guy there if you can't, you know, figure out who to pick in your mock.
But it's not consistent. Like they don't always do that late in drafts specifically. And you look at just last year with the testing for Trey Hill and for Tyler Shelvin, you go back to Andre Smith. There are plenty of examples throughout their history of them ignoring athletic testing. Auden Tate, sure.
I mean, he moved like Joe.
Spoiler alert, James. Anyway.
What? Spoiler
we'll find out later. Let's do one more pick.
We've had this conversation. That's why you're giving him a spoiler, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Auden Tate's name will come up later in this show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah, we're going to talk
I missed the pre-show meeting here on Locked On Bengals. So,
you know, we DM.
That was just me making fun of Joe for being slow, for those that aren't aware. Sorry, Auden.
Let's do one more pick here, Joe, in the fourth round at 136. Staying put with this one. Which direction did you?
I took another player. Just we've had two of the same players. So if you listen to the podcast yesterday where Jake did his, this is the other guy. And it's because Jake and I have talked about it. He brought him up a while ago, and we were talking about guys that kind of – what's the profile of tight end you want to draft in the mid-rounds? So you want a guy that's athletic, has some decent size, has been productive, and you just roll the dice on that because that's really your chance of hitting a guy. And when I went to do the thresholds and do the averages – a few years ago when I was writing for The Athletic and I came away with, okay, and I did this for the first time writing the averages, I Drew Sample spit out as this is the most type of tight end the Bengals draft is Drew Sample. And I was like, okay, sixth round, I'll put him in my mock of like, you know, using this method. And this year when I messaged Jake back when I'm doing these, I'm like, man, the most, cause he goes Daniel Bellinger. Spoiler, he goes Daniel Bellinger a few weeks ago when we're talking on the podcast. And then I'm like, man, most average tight end they draft, spits him out. It's Daniel Bellinger out of San Diego State. And so I went and watched him after that. We watched him a little bit before, watched him again. And I'm like, yeah, I can see it. And I can see the upside. The guy is a decent athlete. He's got good size to him. He's almost exactly nailing perfectly their averages, which is 6'5", 253. He's 6'5", 253. Normally is about 33.5-inch arms. He has 32.5-inch arms. They normally take a 4.71. He's a 4.63, so he's a little bit faster. Three cones, 7.15 is what they normally take. He was a 7.05. Shuttle is a 4.43. He's a 4.47. And bench, 22. He did a 22. Vertical, 33. Did a 34. So he's like nailing it completely all the way down. I'm just shouting numbers at you guys. But the point is, he looks exactly like what they normally take, and that's a fine roll of the dice in the fourth round.
I have a question for you about Daniel Bellinger, and I will get to that after. I talk about the number one protein bar on the planet, Built Bar. If you haven't got one yet, well, you need to, and you need to get more than one. You need to get a bunch of them, because think of a protein bar covered in 100% chocolate that tastes great, that's high in protein, that's low in sugar, that's low in calories, that's perfect for you or Daniel Bellinger or Joe Goodberry or Jake Lisco. Well, that's what Built Bars are, and that's why you need to get to Built.com. Check out all the different flavors, including their puffs, which are protein-infused marshmallows that are covered in chocolate that taste amazing, that are also going to give you the protein punch you're looking for. Check them out, Built.com. Use promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your order. Again, for 15% off, go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15. All right, Joe, let me get to this really important, super important question about Daniel Bellinger. Is he or is he not an upgrade from Drew Sample? Because you spit out this whole theory, or what would be the word? Theorem. This theorem to basically show the tight end and what tight end they would potentially draft. And the last time you did it, you got the pick right. They got the pick wrong with Drew Sample in round two. So would Daniel Bellinger be an instant upgrade, you think, and take over that tight end two spot behind Hayden Hurst?
Well, to be fair, I had them taking Sample in the sixth round. If they would have done that, sure, we'd have no problem with it. We'd be like, correct, oh, great. You know,
you weren't wrong. They were. That's right. Just to clarify.
So putting Bellinger in the fourth round, I think is fine. Like, you look at his PFF score, it's in the mid 60s. I think the same, it's low 60s for blocking. So they don't think he played that well, and it's San Diego State, so who are they really playing? I think his tape is fine. I think his highlights are good, so that flashes. It's kind of, we talked before the show, we were like, Travis Kelce at Cincinnati, was he even that good? And it's kind of, you just want to take those athletic guys with the good production and develop them, because they're not going to be good tight ends until they're 25, 26, 27 years old when they, you know, reach their physical peaks. Could he be a better pick than Drew Sample? Of course. He's at least got the production. Sample had no chance, based on history, looking at production. He had no chance of ever becoming a number one type tight end.
It was Will Dissly was the best case scenario upside that we talked about after they drafted. And Will Dissly just got paid, so good for him. But Daniel Bellinger, also a team captain, fun fact, according to Dane Brugler's draft guide, The Beast. One of the many tidbits included there. This is a very valuable tool, of course. We had Dane on the show, what, last week now, was it?
Yep, last week.
Team captain, Daniel Bellinger. So probably bump him up on the Bengals board as well. Anyone else you considered at 136? Were there any other tight ends? Was Charlie Kohler there? And if so, does he fit?
See, I wasn't going to go Bellinger first in the fourth round here, but the run of tight ends happened. And Ruckert went end of the second, and then it was like Kohler, and Cole Turner went right before me. And I don't know that I would have had Cole Turner higher in terms of, at this point, I was trying to nail the average Bengal pick, or at least get close. As you know, as the draft falls off, it's harder to find those guys. So I kind of was always thinking, like, Bellinger, if I can get him at the top of the fifth round with that trade back option. And then when the run at tight end happened, I thought, you're not going to get a guy that you think has tight end one upside after this. He's the last guy. Take him now.
All right. So let's move on to, we got 2 5th round picks. So now it's interesting. A couple picks to talk about. Who did you pick with that first 5th round selection?
So the first one, this is now early 5th. I took Thomas Booker, defensive tackle out of Stanford. Booker is a guy that tested really well. He's got decent production, 80th percentile. He fits a lot of the averages. He also fits, in my opinion, how the Bengals have kind of drafted the three tech the last few years. And that's really not a good thing. Guys like Marcus Hardison and Rennell Wren, guys that had the athleticism profile that maybe could have developed into it. When you watch him on tape, you're like, does this guy know, is he a natural football player? Is he naturally explosive? Is he keep his natural pad level down? A lot of things with Booker, he just comes away with, man, you should have been much better. More productive and even, you know, flashier on tape and bigger splash plays. He's got upside because he checks a lot of the boxes. Just there's a reason why he's still there in round 5. I think even one guy I think of is Andrew Brown as well. He was someone I really liked, but, you know, at the same time is like he played a lot of 5-tech, will kick inside, play some 3-tech. So I think he has a role on this defensive line. He would back up 3-tech right now in BJ Hill. I think he can do a little bit of 5-tech stuff now. Is he a better interior pass rusher than Pascal right away? Probably not, but he's more of a developmental pick to see. I wanted to get a true D tackle because that depth chart is really, really bad. And to be honest, it's him and probably the guy everyone's taking right now. If I don't take him, it's Curtis Brooks in the 5th, 6th, 7th round.
And he's a 2-time team captain again from the Dane Brugler Draft Guide, The Beast. You can find it on theathletic.com. A lot of free advertising for Dane. Would you rather have Thomas Booker or Curtis Brooks at this pick?
You know, it's funny. Our grading, it spits out like Booker, like, yeah, he's worth a fine shot in the role in the mid round there, where Brooks is like, hey, maybe you should listen to all the people that don't have him ranked. That's kind of what brings him down a little bit. I'd rather Brooks. I think when I watch him on tape, he looks like a guy that's going to become a starter and maybe potentially a good starter. So like, if it was just me, I'd be like, hey guys, you guys got to take Brooks.
Well, hopefully they listen to you, because I'm Team Brooks naturally. He's a Bearcat, and it would be nice if at least one Bearcat would stick around in Cincinnati. Who'd you take with that fifth round selection?
So this is where I finally get an offensive lineman, help out, you know, this unit and get a little bit there. And
it's about damn time, Joe.
Yeah, I know. I could feel you the whole time. Like, where's the receiver? Where's the O-line, Joe? And I feel you. It didn't work out. There was a few guys like Cole Strange, who I think fit, Logan Bruss, who I thought fits a lot of their tackle stuff that may be a guard in the NFL. And they've drafted a lot of those guys. It's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know, sometimes like a Hakeem Adeniji should probably be a tackle, but I've got him listed at guard because the Bengals keep playing him at guard. So it kind of ruins the averages a little bit. But at center, the guy who nails it really for them, and they like to, Jake was right, they like to spend that fourth, fifth round pick on a center a lot of times, up until the Billy Price recency. I took Donovan West out of Arizona State, and he's a guy I think – wouldn't be surprised if he goes like late third round, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone before the Bengals are even picking that third round. Wouldn't be surprised if, you know, it's right after that, or even if the Bengals picked him in the third. I think he fits a lot of what they would like to do. I think he's going to be a zone blocking center that should be a solid starter, if not a good starter. And he fits a lot of everything that he comes away with. He's a 70th percentile athlete. Normally in the interior offensive line, they take a 68th percentile athlete. He is 6'3", 296, a little bit under on the weight, but again, we're in the fifth round here, so I'm letting one thing slip. That's tend to be how the Bengals draft, is one thing doesn't hit, whether it's arm length or speed or agility, and we're getting to that point now where they start to bypass a little bit of the threshold and see the value. Donovan West still being there was great for me, because he was a target of mine, but I was okay with losing him because there's a couple other offensive linemen I would have went with.
Brandon Thorne of Bleacher Report and what's his Substack called? His offensive line dedicated Substack.
Trench Warfare or something?
Trench Warfare, that's right. Has Donovan West graded as a late third, early fourth round grade. He's higher on Donovan West than many of the other boards, consensus boards, for example. Also really noteworthy while we're talking about Brandon's work, Marquise Hayes for him comes out as interior offensive lineman number 4.
Whew.
So that's a guy that I have my eye on personally later in the draft, but I don't know if the Bengals will feel the same way. They often don't, and Brandon is very unafraid to diverge from consensus. So just a couple notes there about Donovan West and one of my late round guys, Marquise Hayes.
Joe, who else did you consider with this pick? You mentioned you had some other offensive linemen that potentially you would take. Is that at this pick or was it earlier?
No, it was around this pick. A couple of guys that just were close or went in the picks around there. Lasita Smith, Logan Bruss went just before this. What a guy. He would have been the guy I probably would have liked to have take. Alec Lindstrom as well. Guy that could play tackle, guard, or center. I think he'd probably not a tackle in the NFL. He'd probably guard or center. But the versatility, I was looking for guys that could be multiple position players.
Smith, another one of those guys that Brandon Thorne very high on, has a solid third round grade on him. Let's get to the sixth round, Joe, and the Auden Tate pick, the guy that we were discussing last night as hitting a lot of the Bengals thresholds, but running a little bit like Auden Tate.
Yeah, and he's the youngest receiver in this class, at least on our sheet. Yeah, like Auden Tate was. So that's typically, if you're going to get a guy that doesn't perform or test, I should say, as well as you would hope, it's got to be a guy that's young. You can't take a guy that's 23 and doing that. It's got to be the 20-year-olds, the 21-year-olds, and hoping that it's just because they're not physically mature yet and they're going to get much better. So leading to that, he tested pretty poorly, 49th percentile for a wide receiver, which most of this class tested above that. Here's the thing, too. Jake, I know you ran into this. It is hard to pinpoint a receiver for the Bengals after, like, round 2. Like, even Alec Pierce in round 2 doesn't hit all the agility stuff. It seems like the Bengals like the agility numbers to hit. and he didn't hit that. He's close. I think they could bypass a few of that, or, you know, fudge the number a little bit for him and like him. But after that, it gets really weird. For a strong receiver class, they're not typically the Bengals type, and you get a lot of guys later that don't have the breakout age. Are the Bengals going to bypass that? They typically do not. Looking at breakout age, average for them is 66th percentile. 83% is the threshold for anyone over 50. So if you're under 50, chances of that they're going to draft you are pretty slim. They've only done it a couple times, guys like Kobe Hamilton, Ryan Whalen, talking 6th-round picks. So I would have considered it here because we're in that spot. But Mekhi Polk, getting to the final pick, finally. But he's very similar on tape because he's one of the big dudes, young dudes, 6'3", 195. Again, when you watch him, because I flipped him on Reflex because I wanted to see, he's making a lot of those contested grabs. He ran a 4.56, so he doesn't have the speed. He's not a speed threat. He's not going to be a guy to do that. Honestly, I just picked it because he had young production. The 88th percentile for the breakout age is one of the highest in this class, and to still be able to get it in the 6th round, it is the Auden Tate pick. It's why they picked Tate. I think he fit the profile.
Didn't Tate run like a 4.7 though? Like, wasn't it much? Like it was slow.
And he was 2.30.
Yeah.
That's true too.
2.20 or something.
Yeah. But yeah.
2.28.
I mean, I'm on board here with that, right? Like, it's 4 or 5, but he is young. He's not even 21 yet. So, you could take him out for a beer if he scores a touchdown or something.
I would want a better receiver. This guy should potentially be the 4th receiver. There's 2 things I didn't get when I get to we got a couple more picks here, but I didn't get the return guy, spoiler alert, for the last 2 picks, and I didn't get a better 4th receiver. It was difficult, man. I wanted to hit some of these positions, and I came away like, you know what? You can't fill every hole. You kind of got to get players you think can be end up being good players, because your holes this year are not going to be your holes in December, and they're not going to be your holes next year.
Yeah, it's really hard to fill all the buckets.
And that's what I wonder, because you're right. They're not going to fill them all. Even if they trade down and people are like, trade down, do this, do that, you'll be able to fill everything. Well, whatever. They're going to have to address something with a veteran. And I wonder what that's going to be. Does that end up being 3 tech because it's a shallow draft? Does it end up being that 4th receiver spot with a guy who could come in and play meaningful snaps in playoff games if needed? You know, it's going to be interesting to see.
Or Quentin Spain, of course.
Sure.
Still hanging out. And a guy that I think a lot of Bengals fans would like to see back. Let's get through the 7th round here, Joe. A couple more guys, including one that I almost picked, but didn't. Okay. In the 7th round, but you've got 2 7th round picks. Where did you go?
I know which one it was.
I went first.
It's the first one.
Oh, really? So yeah. I went back to Arizona State. You got double dip at one school at least one time in your draft if you're the Bengals, and we're taking Jack Jones, the corner. I think the Bengals had contact or a meeting lately with him. We're talking 6th, 7th round type guy, but he actually has got a decent profile. He's probably going to be later because he's under 5'11", he's 177 pounds, which both are a little bit lower than what the Bengals want. But again, 7th round is when they're going to do that. He ran a 4.52, which is fine. Again, we talked about this Kyler Gordon. Decent agility drills with a 6.93 cone. Their average is a 6.96. Their average at shuttle is a 4.22. He ran a 4.13. So he's got the agility, but he's got the production also. He's got 73rd percentile. When you start to get to these end guys, a lot of them don't have the production at the collegiate level. They normally take a guy, like we said, in the 61st percentile. So hitting that mark there at the end, he could end up being your 4th guy, 5th guy. So I think that's a fine 7th round pick.
Yeah, and it is going to be interesting just off the field wise in general. We've mentioned the captain stuff. Jake has this show. We've seen that. Do they go a little riskier here? And I know Jones has had some stuff off the field. We've talked about it with Devontae Wyatt too. Do they go that route and maybe later with a guy like Jones, who to me, he is older too, but if he didn't have all that off the field stuff, probably wouldn't be a 7th rounder, might move up a bit, but he's got a lot of off the field baggage.
Yeah. And that's why he's still there. And then the other pick I went with a punter, and this is the one you thought he was going to take, right? And right. Go with Ryan Stonehouse. So go with,
I actually thought it would be Jack Jones.
Oh, all right. Then you were correct.
Jake would never take a punter. Jake is never going to take a punter.
Well,
he's anti-punter.
It's almost Mr. Irrelevant. That's where I'm okay with it.
Yeah, you're right. You're very close. That would be fun to have a Mr. Irrelevant eventually pick. Man, we haven't had that. Have the Bengals ever had Mr. Irrelevant? I don't think so.
I think they did. Maybe I make this up entirely. I'm going to look into it while you talk
about it. It would be a trade if they did, right?
No, because it's comp picks back
then. Or comp pick. Yeah, it'd be a comp pick. Yeah.
Right. So you could conceivably get that. Anyways, Mike Sands. he's been championing Ryan Stonehouse from Colorado State a whole bunch as being the contrarian he is, where he's like, yeah, you don't need Matt Araiza. You need Ryan Stonehouse. So, which seems like a fine punter, honestly. He seems like a draftable punter. And we're here in the seventh round. He's still there. It wasn't my plan, actually. And then I'm looking who's left. I'm like, yeah, why not? Go ahead, Ryan Stonehouse. So I took it very seriously.
The Bengals had a Mr. Irrelevant in 1968, which is not what it was before it was like ceremonialized as Mr. Irrelevant. And it's not the year that I was thinking of, but they did have a Mr. Irrelevant, a last player picked in the draft.
1968 was their first draft.
Oh, there you go.
Because it would have been
22 rounds.
The first and last pick in every round, right?
17th round is this one?
17th? Okay, yeah. So 17 rounds. Oh, either way. Yeah, because there's like 400 plus players picked back in the day.
462. Pick 462.
Could you imagine Joe Goodberry having to break down, you know,
you
think about
watch
that. If the draft was twice as long.
The NFL films where they talk about the draft, how it used to be back in the day, where they would draft kids and like your mailman and things like that just for fun in those late rounds. Like, seriously, like they were like, really? Yeah, draft this guy. Oh, yeah.
Damn. That is interesting.
Working out too, and I've been on the Built Bar day. So you're saying if it was like 15 rounds, I'd have a shot.
Yeah, in 1965, you would have been average sized around that time, anyways.
Dude, in 1965, I would have starting receiver, bro. Come on now.
Right.
Running back. A bunch of guys that
first slot receiver in NFL history would have been
that. I think. Wide receiver wise, just I want to go back to yesterday's show for a second. And you felt like you missed on receiver returner. I blanked on a bunch of guys that were potential fourth round picks yesterday. One of them I did talk about, Romeo Doubs from Nevada, but there's no indication that the Bengals are interested there and he didn't test, but he was a returner.
I tried to stay away from the guys that didn't test because I couldn't, you know, correlate. I was trying to hit the guys that they would normally pick.
Right. And so the other guys are Kyle Phillips, the slot, most likely slot only guy from UCLA. Tyquan Thornton from Baylor and Bo Melton from Rutgers. And I think, did Melton return or am I confused about that?
No, I think he didn't. But all these guys want like the fourth round.
Right. They're fourth round guys. So that's where if the Bengals want one of these guys, and I think all these guys hit most, if not all, of the Bengals thresholds, this is where these are some names that I would look at besides Doubs, who I only look at as a profile fit.
And I think if they trade down, it's going to make it much easier to hit one of those wide receivers because then they'd have that late round three pick. They could have their pick of the litter there, or if they only trade down a couple spots and get a fourth, maybe they get a shot at one of those guys.
I've got an either or for you guys, okay?
Oh,
fourth round. Yeah, okay.
Fourth round. Game.
You get one of the last receivers that you like that can help return. This could be like a Bo Melton, or you can get the last tight end that you like. Which way are you going?
I'm going Bo Melton.
Who's the tight end? Like is it Bellinger?
Right, Bellinger or Cole Turner. I think those are the two guys.
I think I would go the wide receiver there because it's more – to me, it feels like more of a roll of the dice on the tight end. Although Bellinger being 21 and a half, being really young and having that athletic upside is really tempting because, you know, we've talked about this for years, Joe. You Dawson Knox and all these late – you know, early day three athletic tight ends. I want one that hits for the Bengals. That would be very fun.
That would be fun. I think I would lean tight end. And I think because the chance of getting one that, you know, can maybe be a difference maker is a bit more valuable. But I got to say, I regretted not being able to get that receiver in this draft.
It's like a lottery ticket versus it's like a $100,000 lottery ticket versus a $10,000 lottery ticket. It's kind of what you're talking about in the receiver versus tight end thing in the fourth round. To me, there's more upside if you hit the tight end that turns into the next name, your favorite low round tight end who turned into a good player. So it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I just, to me, they got really lucky with health with their big three at receiver. They have to be four deep this year and have someone that they're semi-confident in that can replace Tyler Boyd for not two games with Higgins, but five games, who can help alleviate that. So, I mean, you could say, oh, well, if you draft another tight end, you can change things that way. I get that. But I would lean receiver.
Receiver feels so top heavy to me this year.
In this class.
Like first two rounds and then
get him in the first two then, baby.
Really want
Jameson Williams, 31. Let's do it, Joe.
I guess we'll talk about he's going to be long gone.
I don't know. Now he's going to miss half the year, according to Thin. I don't know, man.
Oh, man.
He's thin. I actually don't know if they would love Jameson Williams. I would have to look at her. Anyway.
We'd have to visit the profile. And he doesn't come out super high in our system, which is interesting because he's on Alabama. And I think we've learned something about these Alabama receivers a little bit. Jalen Waddle was the same way. Same deal for Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson, where when there's like five NFL wide receivers on your team, it starts to eat into some of the numbers a little bit.
Never test. I mean, he would be a 99 percentile. I mean, he would get bumped up.
Right. That would help. He was very productive. Real quick,
just to go over Joe's picks real quick before we end it. Kyer Elam in round one, Josh Pascal round three, because he traded down five picks. That's the third pick of the third round. Nick Cross to cap off round three, Daniel Bellinger, round four. Round five has 2 5th round picks, Thomas Booker out of Stanford, Donovan West, shout out offensive lineman. It's about time, Joe. Wait, back-to-back offensive line or offensive players with Mekhi Polk out of Mississippi State at wide receiver, and then Jack Jones, double J, Arizona State, and Ryan Stonehouse, team punter out of Colorado State, is the 31st pick of the 7th round.
I think Ryan Stonehouse is Dane Brugler's third highest graded punter in this class. So hopefully there have been some other punters picked. Matt Areza, Jordan Stout, Jake Kamarda. Man, he's 6th for Dane Brugler, Joe.
Okay, here I got another one for you
guys.
What
a reach.
The over-under for Matt Areza is at 117.
I want no part of it.
Over.
That's early fourth round. That's
he's going to go over. Teams aren't that dumb.
What does over mean?
Later.
Over is in a higher pick, which means later in the – yeah, later in the – sorry. Yeah. So later in the day, higher pick. That's weird. Maybe it's lower. It's a lower pick. drops down the board.
You can just say later, and then you don't have to worry about any of it. Later in the draft.
Either way, Areza, 5th round, Bengals, I hope so. Joe, what would make you maddest in this draft?
If it ended up like this?
Really? You don't like your draft?
No. I was asking. If you mean out of this draft, what would make me the maddest? It would be that I didn't get that receiver in return, man. I'm with you guys. I think the 4th receiver, there was a study done last year about the value of the number one receiver. And we talked about it when we were talking about why taking Jamar Chase makes sense. But that study also said the equal to getting that guy is the strength of your number 2, 3, and 4 receiver. So once you have that number one, great. You need a 2, 3, and 4 to maximize the number one because now teams are going to try and defend that guy. So you need that Andrew Hawkins as the 4th. You need that guy that's going to be able to come in and do some things and really elevate when you need that guy to play. And they're missing it. So, I mean, like, we were always harping on receiver because, like, we feel like they – you never have enough. But, again, we don't feel like they have enough.
Remember when
if they could find Andrew Hawkins in round 4, like prime Hawk, I'd be excited.
That's the Phillips kid from UCLA. Or if one of these 5'8 guys, Wandale Robinson, falls.
Yeah.
Wandale Robinson, if they want to draft a guy that's 5'8", hits everything else they love.
Yeah.
I forget the other thing I was going to say, so we'll wrap up the show here. Joe will be back tomorrow. We'll have a 4-panel show with Mike at Bengals_Sands. We'll talk more about the things that will make Joe cringe, make Joe happy, make Mike cringe, make Mike happy as the draft is set to get kicked off on Thursday. Until next time, Bengals fans, that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. Hoo day, and have a good one.